بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حضرت امام شافعي رحمه الله عليه. حضرت امام شافعي رحمه الله عليه. This reporter to have said, the person who asks, who inquires, investigates in dini matters, for the moment that he asks, he may be humbled, he may be humiliated that such a simple thing also you didn't know. Someone may disgrace him, someone may taunt him, that such simple things and you don't know about them. For the moment he may feel humbled, he may feel humiliated, but for the rest of his life he will be in honor, respect, and there'll be a lot of clarity in his mind. I'm doing something, my mind is clear, my conscience is clear, I don't have any type of reservation, any type of hesitation in what I'm doing. Mind is clear. Between me and Allah Ta'ala, I find a clearance. I don't find any drawback. I don't find any type of barrier between me and Allah Ta'ala. The road is absolutely clear. I have found out, to the best of my ability, I have found out, and I'm practicing it, so I got a clear path between myself and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But the person that doesn't inquire, he doesn't investigate, he doesn't ask, for the moment it may seem that he is in honor and he is in respect. Right? For that moment he knows his stuff, so he doesn't need to refer to anybody. So he is a very educated and a learned person. But for the rest of his life, he is living in perpetual disgrace. If people get to know, I'm not clear about it, I'm not sure about it, what's going to happen? So for all the time, he's going to be living in disgrace, in a mental turmoil. There won't be any clear clarity in his mind. That is only on account of the fact that he didn't inquire. Had he inquired, there would have been absolute clarity. For the moment, he may have felt disgraced. But thereafter, there is absolute clearance for him. Allah Ta'ala has categorized this ummah into two classes. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. There will be the class that has the education, understanding of deen. When we say the understanding of deen, then many a times we confine it only to masail. How many faras in namaz, or how much must I give out in zakat, or what breaks the roza. So we confine it only to that area. Whereas Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi was asked, what is the meaning of the understanding of deen? These virtues of gaining the understanding of deen, gaining the ilm of deen, what do you mean when you say ilm of deen? Is it just confined to namaz or some of the apparent obligations that we know of? Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah's reply was, Ma'arifatun nafs ma laha wa ma alayha. To understand obligation, to understand the self, to understand yourself, and what are your obligations and what are your rights. Ma laha wa ma alayha. What are your duties and what are your rights? To know it all. So your rights and your duties is not only confined to namaz. Is not confined to your roza. It's not just confined to your doing hajj. Allah Ta'ala will ask, what about your eyes? How did you use your eyes? How did you use your tongue? He's going to ask you about that. He's going to ask you, what was the situation of your heart? What was the situation of your niyat? You did a certain thing, but what was the niyat at that time? So when we speak about the understanding of deen and the knowledge of deen, then it's not just confined to a few areas that we have selected. This is a selective type of deen that we have gone into, a few areas that we know we're going to find out the masail, but that's it. And this is proven from the life of the Sahaba Kiram that this is not all that we know as deen. Hazrat Hanzala radiallahu anhu's incident is quite popular, and he is afraid to bits, and he's saying Nafaqa Hanzala. Hanzala has become a munafiq. Whilst we are in the presence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we are in a state as though we see Jannat and Jahannam before us. And when we come home, then we are in a different state. So if this was not an important aspect of deen, he wouldn't have become so obsessed, so much consumed with that worry. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu learns about it, says, alright, if that's the situation, then we can't sit with the situation. We need to present it before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that this is my state, what do I do? Now imagine that situation. Had they not asked Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what would have happened? What a big problem they would have invited for themselves if they had not asked Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In the meanwhile, they have left behind a precedent for us. Okay, for your spiritual conditions also, you need to refer. Like you will refer for your physical conditions, namaz, roza, zakat, etc. Then for the spiritual matters also, you will need to refer to someone. You can't just say, no, it's just a condition. It's a condition, the state of a mind, and let's go on. No. You will have to refer about your faraiz, about haram, and also those thoughts, those conditions, those feelings that are in the mind. You need to know about it. One person is coming out in jihad, and he's asking Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what about that person who goes out in jihad, but he goes out only for popularity and name? What about that person who's going out, but he's going out for some type of a worldly remuneration? What about that person that is going out just to save face, that I went also? What about that person? So what was he asking about? He was asking about ikhlas. مَنْ قَاتَلَ لِتَكُونَ كَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ الْعُلْيَا فَهُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And ikhlas, what does it refer to? Does it refer to an external condition or the state of the heart? It's related directly to the heart. So this is an area that we have confined. So, you know, we have asked about halal, haram, bas, that's it. These matters we don't need to find out. One is to find out about this, and one is to take out the time to learn ikhlas. One is to find out about nifaq, etc., and one is to find out and to work to understand what sincerity and what tawheed all refers to. These mashayikh, when they say tawheed, then they say tawheed is not just to know that Allah Ta'ala is one, to see Allah Ta'ala being one. To know is a different thing, and to see Allah Ta'ala's hand in every aspect, it's a different thing altogether. All these complications and fights we have, most of it is for what? It's because of the weakness of tawheed. Well, I did this, it was my spirit, it was my effort that went into it. And this is how they reward me for it. By, are you negligent of the fact that Allah Ta'ala is the doer? Allah Ta'ala makes things happen. Have you ruled it off your mind? Where was Allah Ta'ala at all that time? So you have ruled Allah Ta'ala off your mind, therefore you're in problems. So it's not just knowing that Allah Ta'ala is one, but seeing Allah Ta'ala is one as well. Knowing is a different thing, and seeing is a different thing. Oh, it was because of him that my progress was all stuck. I got stopped. I couldn't make any progress. The business couldn't carry on. I was proposing for that girl and it didn't work out. This person here, he was the stumbling block. He was the impediment. He was the obstruction. But where was Allah Ta'ala all the time? Allah Ta'ala's lost, na'uzubillah. So tawheed is not just wahid danistan, balke wahid didan. Is not just knowing that Allah Ta'ala is one, but to see Allah Ta'ala one all the time. That He is the one, He is the doer. I need to ask Him. إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ إِحْفَظِ اللَّهِ يَحْفَظْكَ إِحْفَظِ اللَّهِ تَجِدُهُ تُجَاهَكَ. To see Him all the time before you. That's Tawheed. That's the oneness of Allah Ta'ala. So when we say ask, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ, it has categorized us into two classes, two groups. One group, that knows, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ, people of knowledge, people of understanding of deen. They have got to the depths of the understanding of deen. So the ones that have got the understanding of deen, they don't have to give very elaborate answers. Because they understand the personality and they will answer him accordingly. They will understand the personality and accordingly they will give him that answer. Otherwise the person is trying to impress you with his lengthy papers, you know. He's investigated it so much and you're seeing papers and papers and you're getting impressed about the whole thing. So this person said this and this person said this and this argument can be countered like this and this argument can be countered like this. So you're getting carried away with that entire story. But I have come to the doctor. Doctor, I don't need to know all your investigation. I need to know the solution to my problem. Okay. So we get carried away in this type of research. Research, leave it to those that will research. You have come for a commodity, take the commodity and move. Everybody is not required to become researchers. Yes, everybody is supposed to be reaching to Jannat. So what you need to take to get to Jannat, you need to take it and move on. Now you get involved in that person's investigation, his research, and he mentioned something like this, and he mentioned something like this. Now let me take this one here, or let me shop around. Okay. On the lighter note, one friend of mine's, right, Allah Pak keep him well, very humorous, very jolly, alim as well, he likes his good food, mashallah. Some people have, like I say, got a pot belly, and somebody has a deg belly. You know? So you get all these classes. So in Dioban, and he liked his food very much, very fond of very good food. So he's asking Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat, is it sunnah to have salt before the meals or after the meal? That's the question, right? Now it seems like he's a very serious. Mufti Sahib, he's understanding. Look at the man's understanding. He's giving an answer with a little bit of humor, but also he's got the finger on the pulse. Mufti Sahib's answer was, "Bhai, kam khana bhi sunnat hai." To eat less also is a sunnat. Now that was an answer that was absolutely pertinent for that person. See, now this is what you say, ala jawabil ala uslubil hakim. You don't just look at the question. You don't just look at the question, but you see what's more appropriate for that circumstance and you give the answer accordingly. That's called ala uslubil hakim. Sahaba ikram had asked, yas'alunaka anil ahilla, the waxing and the waning of the moon. Outwardly it will appear that they are asking, why does it wax and wane? So the Quran Sharif has taken them on a different tangent altogether. قُلْ هِيَ مَوَاقِيتُ لِلنَّاسِ وَالْحَجِّ. It is a means to calculate your time, calculate your faraz, your hajj, your zakat, your Ramazan. Forget the rest. What causes the waxing and the waning, how the earth is rotating and the sun is moving out? That's not your business. It doesn't concern your life. It will not bring any type of improvement to your life, in this life or in the next life. So don't go behind that. Yes, what it concerns, you worry about that. It concerns your farais. Three farais from five, they are all rotating around the lunar calendar. Your roza, your zakat, your hajj is all revolving around the lunar calendar. If you did not preserve this, then tell me, will your farais be right? Will you be able to determine the Ramadan correctly? Will be able to determine your zakat correctly? Will you be able to determine your hajj correctly? You won't be able to do it. So the Quran Sharif also used the same style. They are asking about the waxing and the waning. So the Quran has turned them over, diverted them. But by ask about these things that relate to you, concerns you. You know, many a times you get involved in all these investigations, all research, etc. But what I need to know, tell me that much, let me move on with my life. I don't have that brain, I don't have that understanding where I can understand the depths of arguments. That is left for the people at a different level. They can understand arguments at that higher level. Leave it for them. I want to know the basics. Everybody doesn't appreciate, everybody cannot have that level of understanding. So the Quran Sharif has categorized us into two groups. One is that class that has the knowledge, understanding. They have the deep understanding of knowledge. And the Quran Sharif also says, لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. This one class must be preserved. For what? They must be preserved. that they not just understand deen, but liyatafaqqahu. One is liyafqahu, liya'lamu ad-deen. No, not just to know, but they get a deep understanding of deen. The depths of the understanding of deen, they have it. So that's only possible if they're going to dedicate themselves. They're going to assign themselves, resign themselves for that, nothing else. They must be dedicated for that all the time. In the night also they are researching, trying to find out the solutions for the problems of the ummah. In the day also they're looking for solutions. At night also they're looking for solutions. All the time. It's just an occupation now. I need to look for a solution for this person, for that situation, for this situation. I need to look for some type of solution for these people. So one group has to be resigned. Their whole focus, their whole business, their whole effort is dedicated towards looking for solutions for the ummah. Tomorrow people will come up and they say, I got this problem. What's the solution? So if the person is dedicated, he is fully in deen and fully allowing his mind to be going in that direction, he can find solutions. But if he's got his business to attend, the namaz to perform and do this and 3-4 other duties, then he can't assign himself. So one group has to resign themselves for this entirely. Hazrat Ji Mawla Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi was returning from one tabligh ijtima. And he had to cut through Kanpur. Kanpur was the place where Al-Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to be teaching. So Al-Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi had heard that Mawla Yusuf Rahmatullah Alayhi, the present Amir of the Tabligh Jamaat at that time, he's passing this way. And this is a big platform. A big platform means that there will be a major stop here, at least 20 minutes, 15-20 minutes there will be a stop, and then it will move again. So it will be a good time, I'll see him, I'll meet him, and we'll talk, and he'll carry on. Right? So Musab Rahmatullah went into the platform to receive Hazrat Mawla Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. And they saw each other. Mawla Yusuf Rahmatullah came off the platform, and says, Mufti ji, achha hua aapki mulaqat ho gayi. I am fortunate that I saw you. Mere kai masail atke hue the. A lot of my masail, a lot of things I need to ask, all were stopped. You know, I couldn't find solutions for them. I couldn't find answers for all my problems. I have seen you now. Now I can find solutions to my problems. So he got all the answers and all that. And then he says, ha, Mufti ji, pehle to aastin chala karke, ji, hume tabligh mein nikalte the. Ab phir tum baith gaye. Yes, before you should roll up your sleeves, you should come and fight with us, go out in Jamaat. Now you sat down yourself, what happened? He's joking, because they are contemporaries, they can talk like that with each other. You should roll up your sleeves and you should push us out in Jamaat. Now you got us out in Jamaat, so you sat down, what happened? So Musa Rahman, there was also a lot of humor in him, right? He says, ah, baze ko waise hi chhod do, warna kahenge, ki hamare masail atke hue, kon uske hal banayenge? He says, that few people just leave them aside, let them look for solutions, let them look for answers. Otherwise you'll have this complaint again and again that we have problems in our day-to-day lives and there's no solution for our problems. So one group, just assign them for this. They will look for solutions. Sometimes you're in a stuck, sometimes you're in a situation you can't find and you can't figure a way out. You can't figure a way out. And they are doing this. This is their work. Allah Pak has granted them that type of understanding. They are looking out for problems. They are looking for solutions for you. And the situation, the truth of the situation was, Hazrat Ji Mawla Yusuf Rahmatullah wasn't very inclined towards tabligh first. When Hazrat Mustafa Rahmatullah used to come to Nizamuddin, and Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, Mufti Sahib, see, you are his contemporary. You can talk freely. I am the father. I can't talk so freely. He will hold me in respect. He may have some reservations. But now if I say, do this, and don't do this, see, he will just have to listen, because I'm the father. But he can talk to you one-on-one. He can present arguments and you can counter. He can present arguments and you can counter. So why don't you just explain to him? Until Hazrat Mawla Yusuf Rahmatullah's mind got cleared out. So Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah told Hazrat Mawla Yusuf Rahmatullah, "Hame." جو کام دیا گیا الحمدللہ اس میں تو ہم 100% کامیاب ہیں. The task that was assigned to us, alhamdulillah, we are successful in that. Our task was to get you prepared. We got you prepared now, we can take a rest. That was the task that your father had given me. I must get you prepared. So I got you prepared. So what was assigned to me? I've done that. Now it's your job. Now we'll see what you do. Push it back onto him, see. So one class you will have that will have to assign itself for this all the time. They'll have to look for solutions. And the second class, they will have to refer to the first class. Whether they like it or not, first alu ahla dhikr. You need to inquire from these people. You need to investigate. You got a 1% doubt, but you'll have to investigate. You'll have to find out what is the solution. We are in a predicament. What do we do here? The Sahaba al-Kiram asking questions which may seem to be very, 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 very simple, very, very basic, but they are asking Rasulullah Pakistan. One person asks, كيف الحم؟ What about a brother-in-law? What about a brother-in-law? Ji, Nabi Sam says that the brother-in-law is death. Now, if it was one of us, he plans that buzruk now about the brother-in-law and my sister-in-law. So we'll have that reservation. Say what he thinks, what he'll think of me. You know, he'll think I'm talking with her and I'm casual and I'm meeting with her and all that. So the Sahaba Kiram, their greater concern was the akhirat. So whether the izzat goes or not, they're not concerned about it. What is the concern? How will I feature before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Unfortunately, those that do practice parda and abaya, etc., the abaya, they feel that the abaya, parda, etc., must be observed outside the house. Outside the house, then you must practice it. Going out, abaya, and double abaya, and have the face also covered, whatever else, right? Whereas that is also questionable nowadays. That is that the right thing what they're wearing when they're going out? That's also questionable. But that's not the topic now. Right? But within the confines of the house, they're talking to anybody and everybody. Cousins, dozens, they are just speaking. There's no parda then. So what? Is that Islam in the parda supposed to be observed only outside the house? Was it not supposed to be observed within the house? Was it only supposed to be practiced whilst you are in the shop or whilst you are in Tabligh Jamaat? It was not supposed to be practiced within the house. Where did that masla come about? You see, with the passage of time, sometimes something becomes, we become immune to it. And there is a need for us to discuss it. Like how in this day and time, right? You know, you get emails coming all the time. Mawlana, you know, I was engaged with this person here. Last week someone, the boy phoned up. He said, I was engaged with so-and-so, whatever it was. And later I discovered, we used to go out, you know, the fiancé used to go out. And I discovered that she had some of her cousin friends, male friends. And I asked her to try and leave it, cut it off. Such an unpleasant thing happened. She just broke the relationship. She just broke it. Make dua the thing works out again for me. So all the time that you are going out, was that the right thing? Was that the permissible thing? So now, nobody is discussing this, so that haram appears to be halal, permissible. Why nobody is discussing it? Nobody is discussing it. So what happens with the passage of time? Passage of time, I say, no, the phone, now they're already about there. So let them talk a little bit now. It can't be, you have to balance things out, you know. This is the word that they use, what? Balance things out. Can't be very strict, must be able to balance it. By some things, there's no balance. You can't, there's total imbalance. If you got a liter of milk, you put 1 teaspoon of pisab, can you balance it? So you have to balance it. You can't be so healthy, conscious. You put one teaspoon of pisab inside, it's alright. There's imbalance, you can't do it. Can it be balanced? Ask yourself, can it be balanced? So it's a total imbalance. Your reasoning is not right. Yeah, you say, alright, well, I got one liter of milk. For my own sake, I add some water and I drink it. Alright, that's a balance, alright. It's a balance. Now, you can't put 20 liters of water and 1 teaspoon of milk. It's not balanced. You can't say that. That's no milk then. That's no milk. But this is a balance, alright. You're taking water and milk and you're adding it for your own personal self. You're not deceiving anybody in telling them that this is pure milk. It's alright. But this, it can't be balanced. How can it be balanced? So, no, we have to balance our reading, our namaz and all that, everything in its place. But we go home, now we have to watch a little bit TV, just unwind a little bit, you know. All this little bit, they became a little bit extra clever, you know. This, you know, in India we get this dihatis, villages, you know. These villages, sometimes they hit on the head. You know, they don't beat around the bush, like few in the town, they'll tell you, they'll go round about, and they'll, sometimes they'll miss the point also, they'll go in so much circles. But these villages, they tell it to you, and they tell it to you straight. So this village's son, old man now, his son went to England, you know, to study. Ireland, whatever. So one of his friends asked him, I heard, hey, your son is gone to England and he's gone to study and all that. So, bahut hi bada degree hasil hua hoga. So the village is saying, I don't know what degree he's acquired, but I know he's itne pahunch gaye, itne unche ho gaye, ki ab to khare khare peshab karte hai. That he's gone so big now, he's gone so big, at such a level he's gone, that now he's standing and urinating. So this is what I know, this is how much he's elevated and exalted himself. This is what I understand of my son. So there are some things that you can't find a balance. It's total imbalance. It's total imbalance. You can't say it's a balance. Say, no, you bring namaz also, and a little bit, let's watch television also. We can't be so strict. We came home, let's talk to the cousins also. Eat day now, let's talk a little bit to them. What they'll think of us, we became two big buzurugs now. But it's a haram, leave it out completely. Don't go and experiment that area. That area, it mustn't be experimented. Really, I say it mustn't be experimented. Just leave it out. Don't be casual with them. Don't talk to them. Keep a distance. You will find this happiness within the house. You will find Allah Ta'ala will substitute you with such respect and such fulfillment and such satisfaction that you will wonder within your mind, where was the satisfaction all the time? Now I get this type of satisfaction and enjoyment, which I never experienced before. Mawlana Muzaffar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he's one of the ancestry of Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. So he used to do a lot of hajj, but most of it he used to do on foot. You know, most of the hajjs that he did on foot. India, however, at the point where he needed to board the ship, he would board the ship, otherwise he would go on foot. So en route, he's going to one village, second village, third village. He went through one village and he saw there's nobody coming to the masjid. Absolutely no masjid, no person. So they told him, by Hazrat, yahan par ek khan sahab hai. He is the more influential person in this town here. You know, and if he starts off namaz, then you'll find the whole masjid will come, the whole town will come for namaz. Because he doesn't come at all, and he is the most influential person. He doesn't come, how will the rest of the people come? So he went up to this khan sahab, and he pleaded to him, you know, khan sahab, why don't you come for masjid? And I said, I'll come for namaz, but you know what? I have got a problem. I've got my beard all stuck up like this. There's a way, dari charate, like you may see the Sikhs, you know. They got the beards all stuck up, they got a string or something, whereby the beard doesn't hang, you know, doesn't suspend. So, in order to get the wuzu right, you have to keep the beard open so that the water can pass. See? But now, he wants to keep his beard all stuck up. So how is his wuzu going to be right? If his wuzu is not going to be right, how can the namaz be right? So I got this problem here, and the second is I got some loose women around, you know, and I can't leave them. So no, whatever it is, just start off your namaz. However you make your wuzu, make your wuzu. And whatever you're doing with the woman, carry on, but just see your namaz. Just come to the masjid. Anyway, he told him whatever he needed to tell him. Then he went a few steps, and he went into sajda. And he cried. And he cried for approximately half an hour. So his khadim told him, after he got up from the sajda, Hazrat, you know, you have done something today, I have never seen you doing something like this. One is, that you have allowed him to perform namaz in that state, and to keep those loose women. And one is, you have made the sajda half an hour. So alright, just wait here for one day, and you'll see. So, in the second day, he saw that Khan Sahib is up to shape, up to mark. His beard came out, he made wuzu, everything properly, correctly. Now this person, this khadim is watching, because he wants to see now what's going on afterwards. Khan Sahib came home, and he had those loose women outside. the moment his eyes, he went home, the moment his eyes fell on his wife, it was the first time that his eyes fell on his wife. He saw the beauty, the nur on the wife's forehead. So he told those women, please move away from here. I don't need you people. This is like dirt. And this is like, you know, this is purity and this is dirt. This is absolute filth. I'm seeing suraj here and I'm seeing goodness and purity here. Please, for God's sake, move away. That was the first and the last time all were gone. And this Khansa thereafter, forget his five time namazes, for approximately 25 to 30 years later, he was pabund on his tahajjud as well. So these are the two categories that I speak about that Allah Ta'ala has prepared. Allah Ta'ala has prepared these two categories. And we need to feel ourselves indebted to these two categories. One is that category that has to have a deep understanding of deen. It's not the surface of deen, but the deep understanding of deen. And this deep understanding of deen will come with reference. We have to refer, like this Hazrat Hanzaladiyah is asking, right? This person has to go out in jihad. He's asking not only about the outer aspects, but even the very, very personal effects, things that are concerning the personal self. They're asking about it. This sahabi is asking about human relationship. He's not asking something beyond us. No. What about the sister-in-law? What about the brother-in-law? He said, no, that's death. You don't entertain this type of relationship. Don't ever feel to yourself, no, I'm immune. I don't have those feelings. No. As long as you've got life in you, you have got feelings. You cannot rule off the fact that you don't have feelings. You cannot rule off the fact. In fact, I would say, you know, the type of complaints, etc. I receive, I would say, even for business reasons, even for purely business reasons in this day and time, if someone has to talk to a woman, he must make istighfar. Because he can't rule off the element of some feeling of lust within his heart. Even though it was purely business, but then they sweet talk you, they want the business. Or they want a price. When they want the price and they want that business, they will sweet talk. Right? When they will sweet talk, you may not have any intention of the wrong, but you cannot say that your heart wasn't affected. Your heart will definitely be affected. When your heart is affected, you need to cleanse your heart again. You need to cleanse it out, all that rubbish, all that muck that has gone. You have to cleanse it off so that you again, once again, you are enjoying the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mutaqaddimeen, you know, we're talking of the pious of the past. In Ruh al-Bayan, one is Bayan al-Quran, one is Ruh al-Bayan. Ruh al-Bayan is also a tafsir kitab, though it's not very authentic, like Bayan al-Quran. Bayan al-Quran is at more timeless. Ruh al-Bayan is also a tafsir kitab in Arabic, but it's not as authentic as this Urdu tafsir of Al-Mu'tami Sahib Rahmatullahi. I have to mention that to you so that you don't feel now you can just open it and see everything and from Ruh al-Bayan. It's not that level of authenticity. But that doesn't mean that everything in it is unauthentic. That is why it is not the right thing for everybody to look at every kitab. You don't know what level of reliability that kitab has got. It is the right thing to go and check out, or I'm looking at this kitab, and can I check this kitab or not? Is it the right thing for me to look into this kitab or not? You know, can I take everything 100% of the kitab or not? Because in most kitabs, there must be some report that is not that level of reliability, not that level of authenticity. Now, how are you going to figure out? So, you need to keep in contact with some alim that is well-versed, that knows about these things. Deen is not just curiosity. I need to just build up my education, my understanding. It's not just curiosity. It's rather, it's what you know, take home. Your home is Jannat. So, what you need to take home, that's what you need to take along with you. With a zawwadu, you need to take that patkos. You need to take that provision. So what amount of provision, what type of provision you need for your road, you must take that. It is not just curiosity. Everything is curiosity. One listen to one radio, listen to one magazine, see this and that, see one that, something that is curiosity. That it's not that patkos, what a zawwadu, what the Quran Sharif is saying. The zawwadu, you need to take that provision for the road. You have got a suffer, you have got a journey to cover. You haven't reached your destination is yet. But what you need for the destination, you need to get that. You imagine yourself, when I say it's not your food, it's not your provision, how you understand that? See, I'll tell you, if you've just got one day left to live, are you going to get into some novels and books, even Islamic, see, just for curiosity's sake? Are you going to get into that? You'll only take that which you need to acquire. What do you think I need? What I need for the road, according to my level, my understanding, what I need, I will take that much. But what I don't need, or it's beyond my understanding, or it's of a secondary nature, I'm not going to be worried about it. I'm not going to just do things for curiosity, like what we have done nowadays. So first things first. First things come first. What do I need for this arduous journey? What do I need? The mutaqaddimin, the old people used to say, old ulama used to say, awwalul ilm ma'rifatullah. The very, very first level of knowledge is to get the recognition of Allah Ta'ala. Have you recognized Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? I ask you, have you recognized Allah Ta'ala? Have you understood Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala that you think of going so high? You've recognized Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, then the command of Allah Ta'ala will make you shake. You will get a command of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, you will shake, you will not be able to manage. So you in your elementary things, in the elementary thing, you are not yet established. You need to establish yourself in the recognition of Allah Ta'ala, the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, the azmat of Allah Ta'ala. Imam Malik Rahmatullah is asked one question, just one question. And his whole body is in a tremor. He's perspiring. Just one question. Can you imagine now what's the level of the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala in Imam Malik Rahmatullah's heart? That one question can make his whole body shake. Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu is listening to one hadith from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. And he listened to that one hadith, just one hadith. And it affects him so much. He's so powerful, so mighty. Hazrat Muawiyah, that the Roman Persian emperors, they shake and they shudder when they hear his name. But he's listened to one hadith and he's fallen unconscious. He's got up, and the hadith is reported to him again for the second time. He's fallen unconscious for the second time. Gee, why? Because he's got the greatness, the azmat of Allah Ta'ala at heart. So whatever he's listening to now, he's listening with that level of consciousness, that level of azmat of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, he's listening. So it's affecting the heart. But now if we just listen casually, tape now, we're moving here, there, we're listening casually, is it going to make any impression to the heart? We heard something here, there, and that's part of life, let's continue with our life. So it's not making any impression in your life. You tell me, if someone tells you, as you're sitting here, that, you know, by that business you were doing that side, you know, that turn now, all of a sudden, you got a profit of 10 million rand, just in 1 hour, what happened? You sit down calmly. Or the converse of it is, by, you know, that business that was running very well there, that was a gold mine, you know, that business of yours is just shut down. Are you going to remain comfortable here? You know, you're going to be so affected. Why? Why are you affected? Because you've got an azmat. You've got an attachment. You attach an importance to that business. So these people had attached an importance to that Islam. So anything small or big would affect them. So these mutaqaddimeen, when they would write letters to each other, they would include these three pieces of advice. Man aslaha akhiratahu aslaha Allahu dunya. You look after your akhirat. Everything that pertains to your akhirat, your onwards journey, your eternal journey, you're looking after that. What's going to be right for me in my eternal journey? Is this going to be detrimental? Is this going to be destructive? Is this going to be ruining? Is this going to be harmful to my akhirat? So anything and everything you're watching in the mirror of the akhirat. I'm doing this, but in the mirror of the akhirat, I'm checking now. In the rear view, I'm seeing what's going. I'm always checking out in the rear view. I'm going to do this, I'm going to talk like this, I'm going to be dealing with this person in this way. I'm looking at the rear view all the time. The rear view is the akhirat. It's right, then I'm continuing. You look after your akhirat, Allah Ta'ala look after your dunya. Man aslaha sariratahu, aslaha Allahu ala niyatahu. You look after your heart. The intention, the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. The gratitude that you need to know, you have malice, etc. You are cleansing your heart of spite, of malice, of jealousy, of double standards, of robbing, cheating, etc. You are cleansing your heart all the time. Man aslaha sariratahu, aslaha Allahu ala niyata. You look after your heart all the time. Ithar, no, let my brother have the better thing. Let him have the better. I have got, alhamdulillah, let him have better than what I have got. I am enjoying, let him enjoy more than what I am enjoying.
So he is looking after the heart all the time. His greater concern is the heart. Because the outside is just a reflection of the heart. The heart gives the instruction and the body carries it out. Who carries it out? It's the body. But who's instructing? The heart is instructing. That is why they say, okay, in this world, as we live in this world, right, your khadim is your limbs. What? Your khadim is your limbs. Your servant is your limbs. So the heart must just instruct and they will carry it out. The hand will go into motion, the eyes will go into motion, the ears, the tongue, everybody will listen. The heart must instruct. So if in this world, right, the heart was right, the heart will instruct towards the right. You understand? The heart will instruct towards the right. In other words, in this world, if the heart was Allah Ta'ala's, right, then the body and the limbs will also be Allah Ta'ala's. Right? If in this world, if the heart was right, it will instruct for Allah Ta'ala. So the body will be under the submission of Allah Ta'ala all the time. It will take that cue from there and will carry on. So in the hereafter, there is a connection between the heart and all the comforts of Jannat. So the heart was just desire and that thing just came. Desiring for a bird, it just came. Desiring for a fruit, it just came. Here, there is a connection between the heart and the limb, that's your khadim. And in Jannat, the heart and all the comforts of Jannat, there is a connection. See the connection? Can you see the connection between your heart and your limbs? You cannot see it, but there is a connection or not? There is a general connection. Similarly, there is a connection between your heart and all the comforts of the hereafter. There is a connection. So if the heart has become Allah Ta'ala's here, then the whole Jannat becomes your khadim. The whole Jannat becomes your khadim. You just have to instruct. And Jannat is just submitting itself to you. Like your hands are submitting itself. The eyes are submitting itself. Tongue is submitting itself, right? They become your khadim. Then the whole Jannat will become your khadim. All is required is just submit. Just submit. And you see, everything will just come to your submission. So you get your heart in order. And you will find that Allah Ta'ala will get all the dunya right for you. And the third concern you have, مَنْ أَصْلَحَ فِي مَا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ أَصْلَحَ اللَّهُ فِي مَا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ النَّاسِ. You rectify the relationship between yourself and Allah Ta'ala. At any given moment, is Allah Ta'ala pleased with this? Will Allah Ta'ala be happy with this or not? At any given moment, in the confines of your room, in your business, wherever you are, but will Allah Ta'ala be pleased with this or not? At any given moment, that's the question. That's the consciousness. That's the fikr. That's the concern. You get that right, then you won't be worried about the rest of the people. Everybody else will be then obedient to you. They will listen to you. All you need to do is just get the line right with Allah Ta'ala. You get the line right with Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala controls everything else. He'll get everything else right. But you get the line right with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. He is the control, the supreme control. When He is the supreme control, then He'll control everything else. He'll make everything conform to you. So what I was getting at, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, that we have confined that parda just to the outside. Inside the house, sister-in-law, brother-in-law, and we're just carrying on. As a result, we become immune. Now is an engagement and the person becomes immune. To phone is also alright. To email is also alright. And to invite the son-in-law to be to the house is also alright. Right? And for him to spend the night over, that's also alright. See? Do we have the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala? Say in that state if they died, then what? What a disgraceful death that you haven't got into a proper nikah and you are living like husband and wife. And what about the parents? Don't they feel that they have a responsibility for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We haven't formally entered into a nikah and we're continuing like this. So these topics have to be discussed. People don't know. They are unaware of this. They are unaware of the obligations. But they feel that everybody is doing it. Why can't we do it? And nobody is addressing it. When nobody is addressing it, they become immune to it. We hear about it and we just turn a deaf ear. We don't even show them that this is wrong. This is haram. It's impermissible. We need to show and impress upon the people that it's such an easy procedure. Just make a nikah. Now, you were eating that, and that was haram. You read Bismillah, and now you're eating that, now it's halal. you ate that meat, you didn't say Bismillah at the time of slaughter, that was haram. A small procedure, just say Bismillah, and that will become haram. No, I'm insisting I want to eat the haram. So exactly the same, make the nikah, right? You don't want to do it in the presence of millions of people, do it at least in the presence of 10 people. But get into a nikah. Now whatever you are doing is pure, is halal, and it is supported with the barakat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a cherry on the top. Allah Pak's barakat, Allah Pak's hand is on it. You see, this asking, inquiring. A Muslim is he who prepares for events before their arrival. Any situation coming up, and you're preparing for it before the arrival. The child is coming of age now. He's about 5-6 years of age now, you're training him in namaz. Right. Then when he becomes 10-11, then you are stern on the person. You are disciplining him, you're correcting him. When you're stern, you're strict about him. And it's for his own good, you are strict. You are stern, you are disciplining him, you are correcting him. Then it is for his own good. If he was unjust, and you spanked him for him being unjust, for being aggressive, right? This will be a deterrent for him to get into worse problems. Just like you're going to commit murder, you'll be in jail, etc. Why? Because you didn't correct him. Had you corrected him, he would know that these are my limits, I must live within my limits, I mustn't go beyond my limits. But you didn't correct him. Now, tomorrow he's going into worse problems, into a crime, and he has to go behind bars. That's your problem. You didn't correct the child. When you needed to correct him, you didn't correct him. Now he was out of control. He had to do such a thing. But where he started from? He started from you. When he comes of age, then you teach him, and you educate him about parda. Educate him about his limits. Before you were 13, before you could reach 12, 13, right? You were still a minor. You could talk to women and all that. It's alright. Now you were 9, 10, 11. Now by the time you are 11, and especially in this age and time, what they're eating is filled with hormones, right? Right. This poultry you're eating is hormones, right? And what that hormone does, it blows you up before your time. So people are getting blown up before their time. They're becoming mature also before their time. You ask me, I'll tell you. 11, 12 years of age, they're becoming mature. Now they have to live up with all these things here, with their emotions, with their feelings, with sentiments, right till you marry them at the age of 23. How are they going to stuff and how are they going to contain all the josh in them? You ask yourself, how are they going to contain? You're feeding with all these things, hormones. They becoming of age, they've got feelings, you reverse the whole clock. You look at yourself when you're 17, 18, what was happening to you? See? Now they don't have that one. So who's going to be answerable? If they're going to get themselves landed in haram, who's going to be answerable? If they're going to be answerable, you also be answerable. Because you are supposed to be the father, you are the guardian. We need to correct them. They need to know that they need to keep a distance. And I was talking to one person, very educated person, I won't say what profession, but very educated person I was talking to. I told him, you know, when these children, especially girls, when they reach about 5-6, you must keep a distance from them. I said, Moreover, you can't be so strict. So I went on to tell him, but you see, in this day and time, when they're about 5-6, they are looking a little bit big, number one. Number two is their stupid mothers are dressing them up and dolling them up. You know, they're dolling them up very, very well. And when they're dolling them up, they have got some attraction. Girls naturally have an attraction. Right? Now you say, no, it's my niece, my sister, my wife's niece and all that. It's like my niece, my wife's niece. I asked him, I'm asking you in the presence of Allah Ta'ala, you are here and I'm here. In the presence of Allah Ta'ala, I ask you that if your wife's niece had come here, tell me that did you feel attracted? And when she hugged you, you had some feelings. Mona, astaghfirullah. He cried at that moment. He said, no, I did something terrible. Because I didn't kiss her. But really, I was out of control at that time. I had a full erection, he told me. He tells me, I'm not supposed to see this word, but I had this. So I said, do you see the problem in this? Now, today it's someone else's daughter, tomorrow is your daughter. Today is someone else's daughter, tomorrow is someone else's daughter. What's going to happen? So I asked him, is that permissible? If that happened to your daughter, someone else did that to your daughter, would you appreciate that? So you have to train your children at that age. You know, you're six now. You're looking a little bit big. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, when she was 9, she was out of the house. She was out of the house. She was by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at that time. So now you need to keep observe parda now. See, at that age, to avoid this type of an accident, you don't want a repetition. He came and confessed to me himself, this person here. I asked him, but the way I asked him, that you see all Qurans here, this is the house of Allah Ta'ala, and you tell me, that was there a slip, was there an accident? He tells me himself, he tells me that really it was. And it's going on. And I didn't know that it was haram. The beauty part of it, this, I didn't know it was haram, what I was doing was wrong. But now, why I'm getting worried is, he's telling me now, why I'm getting worried is if I'm going to break away from these girls, they like to come and jump on me and hug me and all that. And if I'm going to keep away from them, they'll feel that I'm breaking away from family relationship. What do I do? How do I cement the both? So I told him, by keep your deen as the first and the foremost thing. You don't have to go and advertise to everybody that this is what's happening to you. You don't have to mention this to everybody. Don't mention it to anybody. But you say, no, hey, not interested in this thing. This girl must stay separate, you know. They must live that side. Let us be with the boys, you see. So, under some different pretexts, you don't have to go and embarrass yourself, you don't have to go and disgrace yourself, but you will have to exercise that level of precaution, because it's what's happening. They are being drawn like that, unfortunately, by their mothers. Their mothers, you know, my child, I need to doll the child up. But how the other person is treating your daughter, I'm not telling you just one isolated case, right? There are so many cases like this that come, you know, that forces me to talk about these things here. Now, when the child is coming of that age, now you need to look after her. But it's your child, you need to take care. You don't expect the next person to take care of your child. You need to take care of the child. So that boy or that girl is observing parda. Now he doesn't go and doesn't move into the girls. The girl is not moving into the boys. They're keeping a distance. Mind you, the schools, if you're not doing it, the schools are teaching them in the period of the light living how to start off a relationship. And if you are loaded with feelings or how to release and how to give vent to your feelings, they're actually showing them from stage to stage, from level to level, how to go about doing it. And if that's also not happening, then you with your own hands, you are giving your darling children, you are giving them that cell phones. And they are educating themselves. They are seeing it themselves. So, for our own sake, for the sake of our own darling children, we need to understand that they need to keep a distance. This is boys, these are girls. It's your children, you have to take care. It's your responsibility, you are answerable for them. They can't mix up, whatever, but they can't mix up. They come, they're aging before their time. You ask me, I'll tell you that these children are definitely aging up before their time. It's not like before where the child was only getting to know things about 17, 18. I know of that time. But the boy doesn't know anything about anything. He doesn't know anything. 17, he doesn't know anything. I don't know what you're talking about. And yes, I don't know. Doesn't have a feeling, doesn't have an indication towards that. But now, at the age of 11, 12, these things are already happening. So don't we have a duty towards our children that we guard them, we correct them, We keep them in confines. You are a boy, you must mix up, associate, play around with boys. You are a girl, you must mix up with them. And this free type of a relationship, you can't allow it. See, Shaykh al-Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he advised Hazrat Haji Ahmad Nakhuda Sahib, you know, says, Adopt taqwa, the fear of Allah Ta'ala, wa yu'allimukum Allah. You will have taqwa, Allah Pak will guide you. At any given moment, you have taqwa, the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, the taqwa will tell you, this is not right. This is not right. What you're doing is not right. It will definitely hurt your conscience. See, this is that commodity that is missing in our lives today, that consciousness and that awareness of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, tawfiq nasib.